For people used to dealing with legal tender currency, Bitcoin can seem incomprehensible. It does to me. But the technological underpinnings of digital currency promise to transform information technology itself. The main piece of this is called blockchain, and no less than IBM has staked out territory by offering open source code for blockchain. Joining me to explain it all, Jerry Cuomo, IBM Fellow and Vice President for Blockchain. Mr. Cuomo, great to have you on.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for having me. You might say it's the Tom and Jerry show this morning.
I guess it is, yeah, at that. So let's start with the basic question then, blockchain. What exactly is blockchain?
So Tom, blockchain is a technology being used to build a new generation of applications. And these are applications where things of value are exchanged. You know, it's best known as the technology underpinnings of Bitcoin, which you just talked about, which is the famous worldwide cryptocurrency network. But we in the industry believe that blockchain can be liberally used for many business applications to reimagine many business processes across many industries.
From a technical standpoint, blockchain is a database?
Yeah. I think that's a good way to think about it, but it's a special database. Think of it as a ledger, like a little black book where transactions are recorded involving assets. And an asset can be anything of value, as I said, car, marbles, diamonds, cargo containers, deeds to houses or property, let's say patents, software licenses. Again, anything of value, and it need not be money. I guess the other thing is, it isn't an ordinary ledger, Tom. Members who join the blockchain each get an exact copy of this ledger. And when a transaction occurs, all the members in the blockchain network get to vote on the validity of these transactions, and we call that consensus. So if you're asking for a transaction to trade, let's say, three red marbles for a blue marble, and you only have two red marbles under your name in the ledger, then the other members in the blockchain will consent and say, we're not going to let this transaction happen. But then if you have three red marbles, you can make the trade so that the entry for the three marbles will be removed from your ledger and replaced with a blue one.
So how would this work in a practical matter if in business or government transactions where you might have thousands and thousands of people involved in a given financial system or transactional system?
Yeah, so in an existing system, blockchain has proven to work very well. And, you know, there are different roles of the members of the network. Some members will have permissions to issue transactions. Other members will have permissions to both issue transactions and maybe act as validators. There's lots of computer science techniques that can be employed to enable blockchain to scale across quite large, in the thousands, if not tens of thousands of participants. And, you know, as technology progresses, we even expect zeros to be added to that as we go on.
So what is the implication of this in terms of electronic commerce, transactions among governments and currency and so forth? What's the big picture here?
I think it's profound in a very, very good and exciting way. Traditional enterprise applications with this blockchain approach can be reimagined. You know, things like, you know, everyday applications like supply chain, trade logistics and finance, security settlement, insurance. And that's cool, but, you know, Tom, the other really compelling piece is that new applications and new business processes that we haven't even yet imagined can be implemented on a blockchain. And, you know, I can give you an example if you'd like.
Sure.
Yeah, so think of insurance and how liability is managed today. All right, so let's say the question, who is liable if your self-driving or self-parking vehicle crashes? So wouldn't it be nice if there was a way for the insurance company, the car manufacturer, and the driver to work on a blockchain such that maybe a new instrument, let's say temporal insurance, where liability can be tracked if you're driving, you know, the car, the insurer, and the manufacturer could all agree and write it on the blockchain that the passenger has control, hence the passenger is liable. But when the car is in self-parking mode, the car, or maybe the manufacturer, or maybe even the software creator that wrote the self-parking software, becomes liable for that piece of time where the car is parking. right? So the insurer can now offer finer grain insurance, right, where liability can move over time from party to party. This could be indelibly entered into the ledger. Even other scenarios, like if your car is sitting in the driveway and it's a beautiful day out, maybe the weather company could also put an entry on the ledger saying, weather nice. Insurance company can say, okay, since weather is proven to be nice, the DMV says the roads in your area are proven to be repaired, the risk for, you know,
sure,
incidents could go down, right? And your liability can be adjusted in real time. So this type of business process, this type of instrument doesn't exist today. But with blockchain, with Internet of Things, these kinds of non-traditional applications could be imagined.
We're speaking with Jerry Cuomo. He's an IBM fellow and vice president for blockchain. So what is the status of blockchain now? You can't buy it as a packaged product. What's IBM doing with the code that it has, and what's the future here?
So let's basically maybe take a half step back, and I can explain what IBM is doing. But let's think of blockchain as, let's say, a combustion engine, right? There are certain characteristics that make an engine, right? There's not one single design of an engine, but most engines have pistons and carburetors and work with the right mixture of gas, air, and spark, right? So blockchain is similar in that there is no single design of a blockchain. But most blockchains, as we just discussed, have a shared ledger, enable assets to be immutably transferred using some form of consensus, right? So with that said, you know, there is the Bitcoin implementation of blockchain. And for a cryptocurrency, that implementation makes a lot of sense, right? And the way it's handled, you know, users to that blockchain are typically anonymous. In IBM, we studied many of the blockchains out there, and we did proof of concepts with lots of clients across, you know, the blockchain, under Bitcoin, under great open source projects like Ethereum, also using technologies like Ripple. And we started, as we looked at these blockchain implementations, we noticed that there was room for improvement to enable broader use cases across businesses. So in IBM, we decided to take on the challenge, both from an education perspective and also to provide some scientific proof that we can build a blockchain from the ground up with, I would say, that's more suitable for broad business applications, where permissions, privacy, confidentiality, and auditability are all front and center in design. And we did that. We spent about 8 months with a band of volunteers inside IBM that we call the Chain Gang, and we built about, you know, say about 44,000 lines of code, you know, in a relatively short period of time, which we ended up donating to the Linux Foundation's Hyperledger project, which we are founding members of.
So this is an open source approach, and just to be clear, it wasn't actually code associated with Bitcoin, but just functionality that it uses.
Functionality, exactly. It's the same, what I would call, architectural design, right? That, you know, like my engine example, they're both engines. It's just that we took a different architectural approach to building out a blockchain.
And so what is the strategy underpinning for doing it in the open source model as opposed to just building, you know, IBM.blockchain.com?
So doing it in the open, we believe, is very important. And it's, when I say we believe, it's not just IBM. I think there's a group of like-minded folks in the industry. And we believe by gathering competency and actually creating a single competitive code base reduces the risk of adoption of users who want to get into building out blockchain networks, right? And this is not just users, but we also believe many of the users are working within regulated industries. And the regulators are going to want to have full visibility into the code and into, you know, the properties of the code, including the algorithms, the cryptography used, et cetera. And I think, as I said, by having this in the open, it's going to reduce the risk and increase the adoption rate. And, you know, in short, I believe the open way is the only way to do blockchain.
Jerry Cuomo is an IBM fellow and vice president for blockchain. Thank you so much for that explanation.
Very welcome.
You can read more about blockchain and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.